only way to make it a little shorter is to move back in the stall a little bit. But
cool. Hey, for all of us that have been here for a while, Mark doesn't really need an introduction. For us, there's some of us that go back with Mark 12, 14, 15 months, years, but a long time. But kids, you guys can be dismissed. I know you got a great lesson ahead of you. And I just want to invite Mark to come and speak into our hearts. If you'll notice in your bulletin, there's like kind of two titles. We didn't know really which one he's going to go with. And as he comes up here, he may go with a whole different one. Right, Mark? Or possible. let's just give him applaud and let's just expect great things today. Amen. Have at it.
Well, the joy of the Lord is what? Did you expect anything different from a fat old guy like me? You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. When? You believe that? Where does the joy come from? And? Okay. So it says in your bulletin, glorify them as the title of what I'd talk about this morning. And often, 747's coming in. And often we, when we say things like glorify him, we have one of the Trinity in mind. Isn't it true? Either God or Jesus, rarely the Holy Spirit. But have we not been taught by the Word that the three entities, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, are co-equal with one another? And if you haven't been taught that, keep coming to classes here. Eventually you'll be taught that from the Word. It's not somebody's opinion. It's that there are three, and the three have said, yes, we are one and yet three. Maybe you can handle that. That's more than my brain can do. But I have something of an idea about that. And so the three, when we are going to glorify him, we're really going to glorify them. Now, the question is, how do we do that? How do we glorify them? Well, we glorify them with arguments, fighting with one another, bickering. We glorify them with speaking ill will about other people or making fun of other people when it's not funny. Don't we glorify them like that? Oh, who was I talking to? I was talking about your neighbors. I wasn't talking about anybody in here. I can see we've got a lot to do this morning. So, let's see if I can just make this a little flatter. There we go. So we're going to take a little ride this morning. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 28. Now, some say this is the season to give thanks. But as those who have been married for 50 years know, every season is the time to give thanks. Amen. We have a lot going on. I told your pastor a few weeks ago we were having breakfast together, and I said, you know, I've come to some really solid conclusions about life. He's looking at me and expecting something profound. Because sometimes I can be that, or is that profane? Anyway, and so I said, and here's my conclusion. The world is in a mess. Deep, huh? Yeah. But if we travel around the globe, what a mess it is. Let alone we can come. I was thinking we have made some progress here in the United States. Because, you know, like 70, 80 years ago, people who were purple were not accepted in certain parts of our city. Those purple people. You know. And today, we're accepting purple people a little better. But that's not true necessarily around our world. Okay, so we could enumerate all the problems of the world, sit here and do that, and after a while, that one, it becomes impressive, then later on it becomes boring. And then, hey, look, let's just go watch Laurel and Hardy, for those of you who are over 50, and let's have some fun and laugh a little bit. We in Christianity like to think this way. Jesus and all of his angels are coming soon. We like to think that way, don't we? And if, depending upon what you want to believe, I'm of this group that says, or that expresses their hope, there's going to be a pew. Now, is expressed with this word. There's going to be a big snatch someday, and the church is going to be taken off the earth. It's just, it's going. Some people use the word rapture. It's okay. It still means rapturous. It means to go up. But there's, Jesus tells us about this. And all the Christians, let me qualify that. All the people who love Jesus and have a heart after him, even though they're not living a perfect life. Anybody in the room living a perfect life without mistakes, without sin? Anybody in the room? Because I want to pray for you right now. So even though we're not living the perfect life, yet in our heart of hearts, that's really what we'd like to have happen. But we have some challenges. One, the person who looks at you in the mirror. That's a challenge. That hinders us from living a sinless life. Secondly, just living in the world. That's a hindrance of living. Okay. But in our heart of hearts, that, so everybody who has it in their heart of hearts, the snatch is going to happen, and we're going to be off the earth. Now, you can, if you want to, you can talk about the tribulation and all that kind of, I'm just looking for the big snatch. I've had enough tribulation. I don't know about you. You know, and it's not fun, and it's not easy, and it's painful. So, whew, we're going to be gone. Boom! In a, what's it, I love this expression of Scripture, don't you like it too? In a twinkling of a, you know, a wink, whew, gone. Now, is not, one, isn't it not amazing that we believe that? We had to be given something in order to believe that. Do you know what we were given? Faith. When we said, Jesus Christ, I choose to believe with my will that you are the Son of the living God. I choose to believe that with my will. And I don't know how it happens, but I'm asking you to come into my life, whatever that means. I want you in here. Because you said that you would come in, so okay, I want you to come in. Oh yeah, I don't have any problem admitting my sins. Do you want me to start going through the list? Okay, this one, this one, this one, this one. Okay, I ask for your forgiveness, and I choose to believe that what you did on the cross, love this word, the atoning work of Jesus on the cross, the atonement. What you did, that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will forgive me for everything that I have done, that I'm doing right now, and that I will do in the future that is not in line with the principles of the kingdom of God. No hallelujahs. Is this a Methodist church? Thank you. So we are, our journey with the Trinity, it's amazing that we can believe what we've read in the Word and studying the Word, that we can believe it. We've been given this substance called faith, and this faith enables us to believe in, quote, the big snatch, plus the second coming of Christ to the earth. We believe in it. Some of us would even die for that truth. Probably most of you in this room. And that's amazing, isn't it? Because we're not willing to die for too much when you think about it. So it's amazing what has been... Are you feeling a little better? Isn't it amazing what we have been given? We have been given the gift of salvation. Jesus referred to that as the pearl of great price. So what a treasure we have in our life. And if we have a treasure like that, what does that make you? That makes you a treasure. Because you're a treasure holder. I don't know if you've ever thought of yourself that way before, but you are a treasure holder. Why? Because you hold a treasure in your life, and it's the pearl of great price, which is the gift of salvation. The gift of salvation. How wonderful. So with all that's going on in the world, here we are, treasured people in the eyes of the Trinity, even in the state that we're in right now on the earth, still treasured. We have been given a treasure that is in us, the gift of salvation. That's in our lives. And wouldn't it be wonderful with all that going for us, all the problems that are around us would go away. Not time yet, but it would be wonderful if they'd all go away. Because we have problems, don't we? No, just look at your neighbor. There's problems there. Just all you got to do is turn and look and say, you're a problem. Thanks, Pastor Mark. I've been wanting to say that to that person for a long time. You, problem. And when we recognize that and understand that, we get along a lot better with one another. You know? So with all that's going on in the world being a total mess, Psalm 29. Given to the Lord, you mighty ones. Wait, who are the mighty ones? In this Hebraic statement here, it's kind of interesting. I'll not bore you with all the technical details. But the mighty ones has reference to not only the ones in the spiritual realm that are mighty. Any of you met the angel Gabriel recently? If you did, wouldn't you say, now that was a mighty meeting with a mighty personage? You see? So those are mighty ones, the archangels, the angelic beings that are in the kingdom of heaven. That was their mighty. And it also includes those who have chosen the one true God, the them, the I am. It also includes those who are followers of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So therefore, all of us are Jewish because all of us come from Noah. You realize that, don't you? We're all a big family because all of us came from Noah and his kids. It's like, it's kind of a fun ride, isn't it? It's like, it just doesn't stop. It keeps unfolding. And it's like, well, I didn't know I was. And if you don't like Jews, then you don't like yourself. Maybe they're a little purple sometimes. So we love the Trinity because they have given us something that you can try to earn, but boy, we make a mess out of it when we try to do that. You can try to be mighty. You can try to make yourself mighty. It's different to receive the gift of mightiness. It's different. It's a different world. And God says, my mighty ones. So give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength as if he needs it. Does the Trinity need glory and strength? No, but the psalmist David, which, don't you love David, by the way? Let's just take, I love to take these side journeys. Eventually I get back. But don't you just love, David is expressing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, just because that's how the scripture is put together, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's expressing this. And so, give the Lord glory and strength. In other words, you mighty ones, use your mightiness to express and live in harmony with the Trinity. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. In other words, you're everything. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you're everything. You are it. You're everything. So give glory and strength with your mightiness. Try to do that. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name, and worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. This is a tough one, isn't it? Because we don't oftentimes think of each other as something that's beauty. I look in the mirror, I don't see beauty. I see the son of flubber. Filled with blubber. My hair is gone. I grow hair in different places now. Don't you? Isn't it strange? It comes out my ear instead of my head. It's like, it didn't do that when I was in my 20s. It's like, what in the world is this thing? So, here we are. In the beauty of holiness, he has provided a separate place for us to live with him. Separated means to be set aside. Set aside leads us to holy. And so, in the beauty of his holiness, we get to exist. Let me try that again. In the beauty of his holiness, we get to exist. Some thought? In the beauty of his holiness. How beautiful is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? How beautiful. Well, all we have to do is look at his creation. You know, get past the asphalt and all this stuff. Look at the creation. Look at the birds that are on this earth and the different colors and how they're all made, and some with talons and stuff, and they have beaks and all this stuff, and their feathers are absolutely incredible. A peacock! Come on! I know they stink, but they're sitting when they're... They are an incredible being. The beauty of his holiness. So while the earth is under the curse, because that's what happened when Adam and Eve chose to a different direction temporarily, not only were they cursed, but the earth came under. And so even under the curse, we still see the beauty. Just plop yourself down in the Pacific Ocean where it's clean and look at the fish of different colors. It's like shocking yellows. The beauty of his holiness. So what's it like to be in a place that's uncursed, like heaven? The beauty of his holiness. So we have been provided, it has been given to us, the beauty of his holiness. I don't know if I should spend any more time on this because I can see you're not impressed. Or maybe you haven't just been thinking about it. The beauty of his holiness is something that we have been given to live in. And if we think and live, if we would just think about it more and then allow it to affect our lives, think what could happen to our personal relationships with other people. Don't you love this song? Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. It's a Sunday school song, and if you haven't had Sunday school, you missed it. But it's a great little song because when we all pull together, how happy we'll be when we all see the beauty of holiness that has been provided for us to exist in, then the mess of the world cannot have its effect on us. Hallelujah. 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 the beauty of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. Verse 3, the glory of the God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon, which is like if you get the idea of the California redwoods, you know, that's what David has in mind here. It's like his voice. When he speaks, it's like the trees just go skipping. All like, hallelujah. No. Okay, so the world's in a mess, but we have the voice of God overriding the mess. When we live in the mess daily, see, it's so easy. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's not your problem, but I know I struggle with it. It's so easy to succumb to the mess rather than to remember the beauty of holiness and that His voice can send trees skipping across the mountainside. What kind of power does your God have? Just think about it. What kind of power does He have? What was that? That was God who just created the world and sent it spinning at 1,000 miles an hour and there's no strings attached to it and there's nothing holding it up. And it's circling around the sun. And here we sit nice and comfortable, but we're spinning, baby. I want to tell you, I think that's powerful. What about you? What kind of power does this God have? So at His ability to create things out of nothing, here's a planet that's in a cycle. Don't you love the scientists who study this thing? I mean, they are so like, oh, we're spinning and gravity and the warp, the woof and the warp, and oh my goodness, and fission here and fusion there. And, you know, they're so excited. And that, when you step back, it was God's word that brought the world into existence, and it's God's word that sustains its pattern right now, its orbit going around the sun, spinning, and here we are, we're enjoying gravity, aren't we? Unless you're old. We're enjoying gravity because we're not floating off. And see, it's like, hallelujah, boom, 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 here we go. Okay, so what kind of God do you have? Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Powerful. Isn't it good for us to think on these things? Because it has the power to elevate us out of our mess. That's why we need each other, to remind us of these things. So the voice of the Lord, let's just let's jump down to verse 7. So the voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes Tulsa. Don't you feel helpless when that baby's going on? You know, like the house is making noise. Oh my goodness. Things are crashing down. Ooh, earthquake. But who made the earth and who is sustaining it? And here we're going to see. And so when we stop and think, wow, God, you're amazing. By the way, I am going to step outside just in case this house comes down. But you're amazing. The Lord shakes the wilderness. He shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. Long story there. Let's not go into it. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth, strips the forest bare in His temple. Everyone says, do you think they say it like when David has this in mind under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? What do you think he has in mind? Now, this is everybody's interpretation. But what do you think he has in mind when he gives us this line? And in his temple, everyone says, glory. Do you think it's like this? Does it impress you this way? Hey, glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is that the way you perceive it? Or is it, glory! Your voice, glory! You know, maybe it's not like that, but it's something like that in there. And the reason we know that is because in the Hebrew, it has this idea of somebody totally giving all of their breath to make an expression of praise. When's the last time you gave everything you possibly have to give an expression of praise? Well, it's probably early this morning, right? When you got, praise God! Another day. Sorry, it's mic'd up. I can't. Sorry, your ears. Lord, heal all the ears I just damaged in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so. But it's like, oh my goodness, praise God. That probably happened this morning when you got up. Okay, it could have happened this morning when you got up. What if we would have started our day like that? What's tomorrow? Monday. Praise God. Why? He gave me a job. I'm going to school. I got health. Yippee-ki-yay. You know? Oh, let me give you a dare. I dare you to try it. Now, you know, don't harm your neighbors. But in your house, in your yard, in your car, glory to God. What kind of strength and energy comes from that? Now, I want you to try it with me, because I know, I'm going to guess that many of you haven't practiced. Just guessing. But I was in the pastorate for over 30 years. I know people somewhat. They're still a surprise to me. But I want you to give it like a... I want you to give glory to God. That's the two G's. Glory to God. I want you to, and you don't necessarily have to be super loud, but it, you know, pump up inside. You see, that's right. You know, and give a glory to God. All right, and give it that little actor sequence in there. Glory to God. You know, I mean, you know, kind of get. But I mean, in here, give it. Get it ready. Get the fire, stoke the fire in there. Glory to God. On three. One, two, three. Glory to God. Now, how do you feel? I mean, does it lift us out of the mess? I wonder who wants the church to be silent and mundane. I wonder. Maybe the arch enemy of man? Yes. How's he doing? See? But man, when we look at the word and we've got the beauty of holiness going for us, and we have this precious gift in us, the pearl of great price, can't we look the mess in the face and say, glory to God, and mean it? You might be somebody if you do that. If you've been wanting to be somebody. That's another story. So he says, the Lord sat enthroned at the flood. Remember when we all became Jewish? That's okay. Enthroned at the flood. And the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. When we do a glory to God, is there any peace going on? It elevates us above the mess. How many of you like Psalm 29? You like it now? It's a good psalm, isn't it? Pretty good? Fair? Man, It's amazing, isn't it? So we can glorify them with, here's the seasonal aspect coming up, ready? We can glorify them with thanksgiving. See how I made that connection? Thursday's Thanksgiving, and you say, oh, what a genius speaker. Wow. This guy, he's got it going. You know? So we can thank them. When Jesus was in Jerusalem at Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he did. What do you think about that? Many believed his name when they saw the signs that he did. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So if you're here today, which you are because you're sitting here. I love that when speakers do that. Anybody? Anyway, sorry. I digress. But if any of us are in a brokenhearted condition because of the circumstances and the mess of life, we can turn to Jesus who said, oh, the Spirit of God is upon me, which is amazing. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, triune, he says to heal the brokenhearted. Got a broken heart? Turn to the person that has the Spirit of God on him, Jesus, and say, Jesus, you already know, but my heart's broken over this situation. And since you're anointed, I certainly would like to be healed. Heal my broken heart. Fathers who didn't behave themselves with kids, mothers who didn't behave themselves with kids, husbands who didn't behave themselves with wives, wives who didn't behave themselves with husbands, an aunt, an uncle who did things that shouldn't have never done, said broken hearts, relationship. But you said you loved me, and they've left you. Who's the healer of a broken heart? It's the person with the Spirit on them, and it's Jesus Christ. You say, hey, Mark, can he really heal my heart? Now, if I had another hour, I could tell you how he did that in my life as well as other people's lives. I personally know that he's the healer of broken hearts. Man. And he says, by the way, I'm here to proclaim liberty to the captives. Captives to what? Captives to sin, captives to broken hearts, captives to disease. I'm here to bring liberty and recovery to the sight and recovery of sight to the blind and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. You know, if you're in a tough situation, this passage of Scripture, Luke 4:18, it's a good passage to quote to your circumstances and your situation. I don't know if you choose to believe that or not, but I'd certainly give it a try. Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I seek to do what God the Father has sent me to do. I seek to do that. Today, we in this room should have the same premise, the same concept of life. So we're here to do the will of our Heavenly Father. What is the will of our Heavenly Father? We just read it. Luke 14. To bring liberty to those who are captive, to bring healing to other people's lives. See ourselves as that agent. Jesus came to the earth to do some specific things. He not only came to bring salvation, but he says, he who sins is of the... can't use this word too often in public. Devil. He who sins is of the devil. It's just, not politically correct. He who sins is of the devil. Is there a devil? For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, came to light, revealed, born, that he might destroy the works of the devil. When did he destroy the works of the devil? On the cross. He made a spectacle of hell on the cross, even though the cross and that event was a spectacle. But he disarmed the powers of hell by giving himself as a sacrifice of love. How strong is love? Are you kidding me? When you love someone or somebody, isn't it amazing what we'll do in our imperfections? Okay, so several of you haven't been in love. All right, so. But for those of you who have been in love, isn't it amazing what we'll do when we're in love? We'll clean the person that we love. We'll clean their toilets. Now that's love. We will look out for their good. That's love. We will want the best for them. That's love. Because love, let me give you some cliches that you already know. I know you came to the house for this morning. These cliches. Maybe I won't give us those cliches, but it's just love. It puts other people's needs first over and above their needs. When we love somebody, we're more concerned about them than us. Now that may last for 2-3 weeks. Might last for a few years. But in the perspective of the world of love, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are always coming after us with their love. Always. And so as we serve God, that's what we become. We become love agents for the Trinity. No, you haven't thought of that, have you? Love agents for the Trinity. Just say it one time. I am a love agent for the Trinity. Try it. When's the last time you said that? There you go. So we get perspective in life when we are loving the Trinity, which causes us then to love others, and we become an agent of their love to others. Wait a minute, why are you here? Make everybody else's life miserable? And how have you been doing? Been doing a good job. You know, because I can make people miserable. I don't know about you, but I can. Oh, you cross me. You better pray for the grace of God on me. You put me in a Volkswagen bus with 4 small kids on a 120 degree day, traveling across the desert with no air conditioning, I can get testy. Where's the love? It's in the refrigerator. I'm so glad you all have it together. I can see I'm not relating. So the Lord came to destroy the works. Where are we in time? Oh, we've had too much fun. Okay. Well, I know Pastor Don goes till 1:30, and we're not even getting close to that. So Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. It was accomplished on the cross. So if his works are destroyed, then we can be the objects of God's affection and we can live in the beauty of his holiness. Oh, let's just have one more time of fun before we change a gear here. I'd like for us all just to be, I'm going to enable us to really feel good here for another few moments. I would like for you to think right now, if you would, isn't it great to be here because you don't have to? Because love doesn't demand its way. Maybe you might think about that at lunch. So, because we're in a room like this and there's love in here, I'd like for you to find something and give it to somebody else right now. find something and give it to somebody else right now. Just find something on your person, in your purse, guys. And just find something and give it to somebody else. Anything. Anything you've got. No lint out of your pockets. I don't mean that kind of a gift. Ah, okay. All right. Here you go. Thank you. Wow. I will afterwards. Yeah, no, I know. Thank you very much. Okay, wait a minute. I didn't say have a good time. I didn't say smile. I didn't say be happy. But that's what happens when we give. When we give, look what it does to us. It changes us. And our neighbors are saying, praise God! There's change coming to that person. Why? Because when we give, what happens to us? It lifts our... The beauty of holiness starts vibrating. I just gave a pin. I know, it's such a, but look what it did to you. I gave a cert. Oh, man. Owosso is going to thank us for this morning because of what's happening to us. Your neighbors are going to say, well, why have you been behaving like this? You just brought over a loaf of whatever it was, banana nut bread, and you just brought it over here and you're giving it to me. It's not even a holiday. What's the deal? Oh, just was reminded of some things the other day on a Sunday with the church. Wow. A few weeks later, you come back with something else. What's going on? Well, I was just, you know, and I just went to the church and hanging out with them. And I was just reminded of some things. You know, somebody might say after a while, maybe I'd like to go hang out with your church. Because if that could happen to you, Amen. Are we riding now? Are we bumping down the road? You know, hydraulic jacks and everything, boom, ba-ka, are going. You see? You can tell I pastored in L.A., can't you? You see, because the opposite of what we're talking about here is the activity of the fallen angel. The thief comes not, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, Father God says, the Holy Spirit says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it. How much? Glory to God! More abundantly. See? Now you're going to have to remind each other probably by 6 o'clock tonight of the things that we talked about today, because when you leave this building and you get in your car, it's kind of like, this is my car. And this is how I live in my car. This is how I drive in my car. Don't you dare come into my lane. See? And then you can go from your car to your, you know, teepee, your hut, your apartment, your house, whatever you get to live in. And when you get in there, this is how I live in a Zena. And like the glory to God thing, back here at the building. And we'll have to gently remind one another. And usually the best way to remind is for you to do this. Glory to God! They'll get it. Are we going to have fun now? Oh, you're just a beauty of holiness. That's what you are. It's possible that most of you have never said that to anyone in your entire life. Well, okay. You can say amen to what I'm doing right now. 16 pages.
Glory to God.
<laughs> in an atmosphere that's been created by what God provides for his humanoids, what he gives us, when there's an atmosphere like that, then we can glorify them and we can give thanksgiving. And this morning, let's just, if you want to, the Word of God says that there's nothing impossible, but that all things are possible with Him. So, let's test the impossible. Okay? So, I want to agree in prayer first category. Sounds like a game show, doesn't it? I was sitting in the last row of chairs in a packed auditorium, and the speaker was a woman by the name of Catherine Kuhlman. And the place was packed. And all these interesting things were going on. She'd say, "Ooh, someone over here," you know, and then she'd say, "Oh, someone over here," you know, and I kind of got to thinking, you know, you could say that. It's pretty safe to say there's a problem over here because it's a house full of problems. Oh, well, there's a problem. I was young, stupidly young. And but the room and the presence, the atmosphere was different than when I'd walked in. It was like, there's something going on here. And she kept saying, "No, cancer over here." And people just like fall over like, psh. It's like, oh my goodness. Oh, and there's rheumatoid arthritis there. Psh. Oh, and there's a throat problem. It's like, let me... Cancer in the throat. These people, you know, and she didn't have any magic wand. There were no catchers. People were just. So I was like amazed at that. I was like, wow, this is pretty interesting. And she started winding up to close the service, and which was like not 20 minutes. It must have been 2 hours she was standing there. And she was a woman about this wide, not very pretty physically, but man, she had a beauty of holiness that was amazing. And I see the people with her start to take her out, and she stops them like this. And I turned to my friend Bob, and I said, "Watch this, she's going to do something." And she turns around, eyes blazing, and she comes off of the platform, down these rickety steps over here. I can see the people who take care of her going, "What's she doing?" You know. And she comes down, and she comes up this long aisle right to the back row, and she comes over, and she gets this far away from my forehead, and I couldn't move for 40 minutes. I was frozen like this. And I kept thinking in my human mind, what in the world? And then she did it to my friend Bob, and he fell over like a ton of bricks. You know what she did after that? Because I remember seeing with my eyes. My eyes were not frozen. She turned around and walked right out of the auditorium. I wondered about that for days. I said, what in the world? What in the world does that mean? You know, it's like, wow. I mean, this was kind of, you know. I'm thinking, and all of a sudden it just rest, and it came, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. And for many years, I'd think about that. And one day, I was in a service with about 500 teenagers. And we had a four-hour service where all the teenagers didn't want to leave because so many miracles were taking place at that time. And it's like, it's as though, did you hear what I just said? It's as though the Spirit of God whispered and said, remember Catherine Kuhlman? Oh, yeah. Well, a little touch of hers in you. Oh, mantle stuff. Oh. So, whatever that all is, let's let it happen here today in Owosso, right here at Hope Chapel. I'd like to take broken hearts first. So, if you want to stand and just say, man, my heart's been broken and I need healing, just stand where you are. Now, Father, thank you for these moments and thank you that we can confess our need just simply by standing. And for those of us who stand before you today. Well, here we are. You've been referred to as the great surgeon. Then heal our hearts, we ask. We ask for such a healing that there would be the power of redemptive health come to the heart. And that this morning, Lord, not only the heart, but that which has plagued the mind, we speak in Jesus' name for that to be healed and to be removed. Tumorous, we just pray for it to go out of the life. We pray for it in Jesus' name. We pray for it in Jesus' name. Next group, tumors of any kind. We just stand and let's let Jesus do what he'd like to do. So Lord, people with tumors, my goodness, we just pray the melting, Lord, not telling you how to do it, but standing in your presence and just simply saying, Lord, thank you. And may the miracle of your healing touch bring health and restoration to cancerous tumors of any kind in any part of our physical body. Sorry, Lord, for not taking care of our bodies the way that we should, but thank you for your mercy and grace that comes and heals us in a time of need. We pray it. Arthritis of any kind, just stand. Knees, elbows, whatever. Lord, we just rebuke in your name, not our name, but we rebuke arthritis now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that your healing power is no respecter of age. And so we'll not let that get in the way. But Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. May there just be the revitalization now of all that was plagued by that. Lord, thank you. We just thank you that it just comes off in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it. We praise you for it. We praise you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Anything with ears, would you just stand? Maybe some kind of deafness or some kind of pain or equilibrium. Lord, those who come now into your presence, we just thank you. We just, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we pray for restoration and the presence of your healing upon all the ear problems, Lord. Life is tough and messy, and we know you understand that. And we thank you for junctions and moments like this in Jesus' name for that to be healed. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Heart condition, please. You just stand. Lord, we take a beating. This heart takes a beating. We know it. And so, Lord, we need your help. And we need your power to bring healing to the heart, the tissue, the muscle, the aorta, and all that's in. Lord, we just pray healing, divine healing secured for us on the cross of Calvary. And we just praise you now, Jesus, that which only you can do. Thank you. We give you praise for your intervention into our lives. and receive our gratefulness with thanksgiving from our heart. Give you praise. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Give you any trouble with the eyes? Let's just stand now. Different kind of things, maybe deteriorating retinas and detached and all that. Lord, we live in imperfection, and so we thank you for thank you, Jesus. Clear the fog off the eyes, Lord. Melt the cataracts, we pray. Bring healing to the tissue of the eyes in your presence, Lord. In your presence, we give you praise. And we give you honor and we give you glory for only that which you can do. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Back difficulties, would you stand? Lord, we know that you're the maker of the body and that you can perform wonders that we don't understand, but we can appreciate. So, Lord, where there's disintegrating disc and that causes malfunction in our central nervous system, we just pray, Lord, that you'd regenerate the disc. Give those who need it a new one. And bring healing. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise for what only you can do in a matter of seconds. And we give you praise with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. So we sing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now the uncomfortable verse. The joy of the Lord is... Sing that to your neighbor, that last line. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Hello. Good stuff, huh? Now you kind of know why for 25 years, I've known Mark, and he's been an inspiration in my life. And when we do have breakfast, there's always something he says that stirs incredible things in my life. And lets you guys know that, you know, and he and I have talked about it, and the council does, he's considered our staff evangelist on staff here at the church with us. And he is just wonderful guy. And we're doing that for a lot of different reasons. One, because I just absolutely love him. Second, because he asked me. Or maybe backwards that way, I'm not sure. But listen, that one thing he said is, we are the Trinity's ambassadors of love. And Jesus just says this as we just depart this morning. Mickey, would you just come lead us in just one last song as we worship in this morning? But this is the one thing that Jesus said. There's two defining things that I can't get away from with when he said, and one of them is this: love one another as I have loved you. Therefore they will know that you're my disciples, because you love one another. I think it's a great idea. This afternoon, I'm just going to kind of go around going like, glory. I think so, because it's so true. We have to be reminded. Amen. Let's stand. Let's worship him one more time before we go. This is the last evening of Alpha. If I can have a couple of guys to help me move the tables out this time, and we do want to move along.